Laura's History Podcast is recorded before a live studio audience.
Good evening, and welcome out to the first ever episode of Laura's History Podcast. I'm joined this evening with...
Mike.
And we are going to be discussing a short topic of history of Mike's choosing. Mike, what did you choose for our first episode?
I would like to know about the Spanish Inquisition.
Now,
because all I ever really know about it is from Monty Python sketches.
I was about to ask, now, is all you know about the Spanish Inquisition from Monty Python? Because most people would actually say yes.
Yeah.
So you are in
because,
the norm, sir.
Because no one expects the Spanish Inquisition.
Yes, ha 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 ha. So.
Are you doing like a weird, like, whoa, whoa.
No, I was just at first.
Because it kind of went like that.
No, I'm done now.
Okay.
So anyway, what most people don't know is that the Inquisition didn't really start in Spain.
Oh, we're jumping right in.
All right. You want to know about Spanish Inquisition?
Yeah, come on.
You're
lay
getting
it on
Spain.
Me.
Started out as a medieval Inquisition.
Lay it on me,
like,
professor.
It was just all Europe was doing Inquisitions in the 1200s. It was the hot thing to do.
Inquisitions.
Because basically it was the church's way of finding out. They were inquiring, if you were.
Wow. Okay.
If you were really the honest and pious Catholic that you claimed to be, That was their goal. They wanted to find out if Catholics were really Catholics. And so if you were doing things like burning, like there was no smoke coming out of your chimney on a Saturday or the Sabbath, people thought you weren't working. And you were honoring the Sabbath, but if you said you were a Christian, but you were doing Jewish things, we better inquire as to what you're doing.
Okay.
This is pretty common. It actually started in the 1200s, and the only places where it wasn't really prevalent were England and Scandinavia. The rest of Europe was pretty Inquisition happy.
Just pretty Inquisition heavy-tastic.
Kind of. So... the Spanish Inquisition, which is what more people know, even people who might not know the Monty Python thing, they've probably still heard of the Spanish Inquisition in some form or another.
Right.
And it started on November 1st in 1478, and that was Ferdinand II and Isabella I, and they actually formed the Spanish Inquisition. You might recognize Ferdinand and Isabella from Christopher Columbus fame.
No. I don't, actually.
Christopher Columbus, legend.
I know who Christopher Columbus is.
Went
yes.
to Isabella and was like, can I have some money and some ships?
Oh, okay.
And
okay.
She was like, okay. Because it turns out she probably had quite a bit of influence over her husband because a big part of how this whole thing started was people were like, Isabella, there's people pretending to be Christian, but they're actually Jewish. You should help us out. And she was like, okie dokie.
Okay.
Even though the started officially, people were during the Inquisitions in 1478, it wasn't until 1481 that they had their first auto de fe, which meant rite of faith. And these were public shows.
Okay.
People who had been deemed guilty to either reconcile or be punished, or both. For their lack of faith and their heresy.
Right.
Because basically in Europe, it was about heretics, right? People were... If you're a heretic, and Merriam's Webster Dictionary defines this as a belief or opinion that does not agree with the official belief or opinion of a particular religion.
That's a heretic. Okay.
So, but in Spain, they were really mostly after what is called a crypto Jew, which is like,
crypto Jew.
Yes, a crypto Jew, which is basically the Jews have had a bad go. It's basically people who pretend not to be Jewish. And
crypto Jews sound like Jewish zombies. I am a crypto Jew because they come out of crypts.
Or it's like cryptography, where people are
crypts.
Like, ciphers and hidden things.
Oh, I see. So hidden zombies, Jews.
Hidden Jew. Basically, they would hide their faith. Like I said, they would say they were Catholic to not be persecuted, and it turns out, they were Jewish, and they were doing it. They were lying, and they wanted to find out who you were, and they basically wanted to make sure you converted. That was really the the goal was to convert you to Christianity, like to Catholicism especially. But really, at first, they weren't really popular. Most of the public opinion was with what were called the conversos, who were people who had converted, and they weren't accepted by Catholics because they had Jewish backgrounds, but they weren't accepted by Jews because they'd left the Jewish faith. So they pretty much didn't have a very good go of things. What they were originally, people had, like, as much as they didn't want to associate with conversos, they would, they didn't want them to be persecuted too badly either.
Right.
But, there was even some riots, in Spain to try and stop the Inquisitions. And then one of the inquisitors was murdered and public opinion swayed. Now, they had to have support from...
What inquisitor was murdered?
I'm sorry. It was just some guy.
It's just some guy?
I don't know.
Well, it was important enough that if he got murdered, it started crazy shit.
Well, he was the first one to get murdered. Either way, they had to have the support of the Pope to do this.
Right.
Because everything you did had to be supported by the church back then, especially if you're nobility. That was just the rule. You had to be supported by the Pope. And
powerful guy, that Pope.
What Ferdinand did was he was basically like, if you don't do what we want and let us do our own inquisitions, essentially, is we will draw all the soldiers we've sent to Rome. And there was the threat of a Turkish invasion at the time. So Rome needed those soldiers. So
right.
The Pope was basically like, all right, do whatever you want.
Did the Turks invade?
I don't think so. I did research on one topic.
Oh, next episode, research whether or not the Turks invaded.
Anyway, so the main target, like I said, was the Jews.
Right.
Jewish people really got the short end of the stick of all this. There was about 80,000 in Spain in 1492. If you remember that number.
1492.
Christopher Columbus sailed the ocean blue.
Oh. Ow. It just hit my head.
Careful. So there's about 80,000. And of those, about 40,000 chose to leave. And most of them went to Portugal, which ended up a few years later having its own Inquisition. And they had to leave there too.
The Portuguese Inquisition?
There was quite a few Inquisitions. A lot of them went to North Africa and Italy. The other half actually chose to convert. And so the Inquisition was basically making sure those converts stayed converted.
Right.
Which I said were the crypto Jews.
The crypto Jews.
Then in 1502, they started banning Muslims.
Okay, why?
Because they weren't Catholic.
Oh.
That's literally the reason.
Oh, there's no ulterior motive?
It's just, well, there's the parts of it, there are theories as to why, which include basically strengthening the crown, weakening enemies. Because especially for Muslims, they actually, in a lot of areas, they held political office. They were part of the nobility.
Muslims were?
Yes.
Okay.
They were actually called Moriscos. I'm probably saying it wrong.
You should get, like, phonetical cards.
Either way. So in areas such as Castile and Aragon, they were banned, but it was harder in a lot of other areas of Spain where they had taken stronger hold and, like I said, the nobility, because then it was basically like the heads of state going on a, hey, I don't like you, to someone else who is just as powerful, and that, you know, doesn't play very well.
No.
So they started doing that, and then... So they wanted to weaken their enemies, but a big part of it was actually seizing the property of people who they, you know, because that was part of it. You'd actually lose your property if you were found guilty and the crown got your property.
Oh. And then what'd they do? Sell that shit?
Yeah, make money.
Makes sense.
Yes. So one of the biggest things they did during the Inquisition was actually banning books. So
like Fahrenheit 459?
Well, how about Fahrenheit 1551?
Did I say it wrong?
No.
Did you say it wrong?
No, that was the year they started banning books.
Right. Okay.
The first year there was an index of banned books in Spain, but this is actually not again because Europe did it first. In Europe, they had started banning books on a wide scale in 1550. The first list of books was released in Europe and then in Spain.
Can you name one of those books?
No, it's just anything that wasn't supporting Catholicism was banned.
Okay.
That was if you didn't like Catholicism and you were in Europe, well, you were boned.
Okay. But what if it was like a story and they didn't mention Catholicism in it?
Either way.
It would be banned.
Think about it. That's 100 years after the printing press.
Right.
And then they're banning books already. That's pretty quick. In between the years of 1560 and 1700, there were over 49,000 trials.
That what? How many?
49,000.
Holy shit.
Mm-hmm. Remember, that's a few years.
That, yeah.
And they, just to let you know, like the breakdown of those was 5,000.
Only 40 people.
5,007 people in the records were because of the crypto Jew thing.
Right.
11,000 were Moriscos because there were just more in the country.
Right.
Lutherans.
Those were the Muslims, not the Lutherans.
Yeah.
Right.
Lutherans.
Yes.
At 3,499.
What is that?
Alumbrados. I honestly don't know. Was only 149. Superstitions was 3,750, which would be things like witchcraft.
Okay. I was actually about to be like, what does that mean?
Heretical propositions, which is like you're actually saying things that are heretic in nature.
So, like, for example, fuck Jesus.
Yes.
That would be something.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, watch out. Spanish Inquisition.
Nobody expects him.
Bigamy. Was at just under 3,000. Solicitation. So
bigamy. Well, I'm blanking.
Marrying more than one person.
Right.
Solicitation. So hookers.
Isn't that polygamy, though? Marrying more than one person?
That's
the same thing, just different.
Bigamy
name?
Is two.
Oh, okay. Bigamy. I get it.
And miscellaneous at... offenses against the Holy Office of the Inquisition. So if you said you didn't like the Inquisition, you got Inquisition.
So, like... Fuck those guys.
Yeah. And miscellaneous at 2,500. Now, here's a funny fact for you. Sonnaby was one of the reasons for Inquisition.
Was that miscellaneous?
I think it's miscellaneous. But 19% of those who were proven guilty,
right,
finger quote, were clergy members.
Oh.
So even back then, we're talking about priests and butt sex.
Oh.
Yeah.
So wait, that's 19% of the sodomy?
Of sodomy.
Not like 19%.
Just of sodomy.
Wow.
Pretty cool. Now, that's the history of how it all kind of got started.
Right.
This is how an Inquisition worked.
Okay.
Inquisitors would show up in a town,
mm-hmm.
and you would go to a big meeting.
Would they be dressed like the Monty Python guys?
Kind of. Just think... when you've seen your Salem witch trials, and like even think of The Simpsons.
Right.
When there's the witch trials, it was, I accuse Goody Flanders.
Right.
People got to do that. Now, if the Inquisitors showed up in your town and were like, does anybody want to confess? Because if you confess now, you got a period of grace, and like you'll still, as long as you're like, no, I actually do love Jesus and I just had a relapse, we'll kind of let it go. But you have to like swear fealty to the faith and everything.
Right.
But once the period of grace was over, people got to be like, I accuse Goody Flanders.
Oh, so like people would get accused and then they'd make it better and then they'd accuse people. So would they turn around and accuse the people who accused them?
No.
Oh.
You had to actually have good reason to accuse somebody. So you could be like, well, you know... Chaim Milosevic over there.
Chaim.
I don't know. I was trying to think of a Jewy name.
A crypto Jew?
Crypto Jew name. No, but like, they would say, I never see smoke coming out of his chimney on a Saturday.
Mm.
he buys a lot of vegetables right before the Sabbath. Like, what's going on with that? And the meat he buys from is coming from a butcher who used to be Jewish. Something's telling me he might actually be Jewish.
Something tells me he ain't eating a lot of bacon.
Basically.
Right.
And so, if they thought it was reasonable that, yes, careful.
Put him down.
That they could actually need to be, you know, tried.
Right.
You would be detained. Now, here's something that parallels modern society. You could be detained for years. Years.
Mm-hmm.
With no trial, no charges, nothing. You or your family, nobody would know why you were arrested.
Just sort of like Gitmo.
Yep. It was basically Gitmo, but your family actually had to pay the cost of covering your detention. So any food, upkeep, and everything that you cost was your family had to provide the money.
Well, that's not fun.
No. So once you finally got your trial.
Yes.
You either had to have a witness. And this had to be someone who was obviously not accused as well. You couldn't have, you know, Chaim couldn't have some guy named Einstein vouch for him.
Right.
Right? It's actually got to be like someone who was pretty obviously actually a Catholic.
Okay.
Say, no. Chaim's a good dude. He loves Jesus. He converted. He's a big Jesus fan. We're all big fans of Jesus.
Okay.
Or you have a witness who says, no, the guy who accused Chaim, he was only accusing to cover his own butt. I have it on good authority that he's actually a crypto Jew.
Right.
And
a sodomite.
Or a sodomite. they were, of course, one of the most well-known things about the Spanish Inquisition is the use of torture. Everybody talks about the torture.
Yes.
Torture. A lot of people talk about torture in the Middle Ages, medieval, like, Renaissance. Torture is a big deal. And you got, like, all sorts. You go to, like, medieval times and you go into the torture chamber, right? Like,
right.
Everybody loves torture. What a lot of people don't remember is that torture was used to get information, not to punish.
Okay.
So, again, we are very lucky that we've never been tortured. But if someone threw you on a rack and was like, you know, tell us everything you know about, you know, these crypto Jews, you'd probably be like, I'll tell you anything you want to know. Just let me off of here.
Right.
So it was actually...
I've seen a lot of, like, spikes and penis things. No. And I'm not a fan of any of that.
No, it was actually a rule in the methods of torture. You could not permanently injure somebody and you could not draw blood. Were actually the rules.
Oh.
And the Spanish, a lot of people don't know that.
So what do they do?
I'm going to tell you. So even though they did not discriminate based on age or sex, so children and old people would be
tortured. Shit.
Yeah. But it was only used in 2% of cases.
Okay.
Which out of that many people, still quite a few people that were tortured.
Yeah, that's 2% of 49,000 people.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people still.
And they would generally only use it once and in very rare cases twice, but never more than that. Now, here's the way that they did it. Garrucha, which is also known as the strappado, is when you take a victim's hands, tie them behind their back, and hook something to the rope, tie them up, and lift them up with their arms tied around their back, and it pops your shoulders out of their sockets.
Oh.
So you don't bleed,
yes.
And you put your shoulders back so it's not permanent, mm-hmm. But it hurts like hell.
Yes.
Second was the toca, which we also known as waterboarding.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So people would be waterboarded. And the most popular was the potro, which was the rack. This was the most popular.
Okay.
Put people on the rack, crank them until they give you the information you want. Once you've been detained for years, and then you've been tortured, and then detained some more, eventually you'll finally get your trial. Now, the outcome, there were several outcomes that you could get at a trial.
Okay.
You could be acquitted. Turns out, hey, you're right, that guy... he actually was lying. You're an upstanding citizen. Sorry for holding you. Sorry for the possible torture. Sorry that it took so much money from, you know, your family to keep you housed. But no, you're good. You're actually, you know, we're good. Have a good day.
So they would they refund that money?
No.
No.
Why would they refund it?
Mm-hmm. Niceness?
No.
No. Not a thing?
No. Occasionally, your trial would be suspended and you'd either rot away in jail for the rest of your life, or you get released and people would just be like, basically acquitted, whatever.
Okay.
That happens sometimes. Penance was a very common outcome, which is you're like, you know what? You're right. I did bad things, but I'm really sorry about it. I love Jesus now, and I would really like to love Jesus. And here's all my money, and I'm going to go live in exile for a while, and I'll work off my debt to society, and I love Jesus.
Right.
That was the outcome they wanted. They wanted your money, and they wanted you to love Jesus.
So they put, like, they grabbed all these people so that they would love Jesus and
basically,
the
that's the goal. Like, the think about, you know, Christian missionaries and stuff. Their goal is to spread Christianity.
Right.
They want to make sure everybody's Christian.
Mm-hmm.
That was the goal of the Inquisition, really, is to make sure everybody's Christian.
Good times.
Yeah. They want to make sure your soul is saved in a very weird way.
By torturing you.
Yeah. They just want everybody to be Christian. That's the goal. Occasionally, people would be reconciled, which meant they seized all your property. You were whipped in public and then banished.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah. And then in very rare cases, these would be heretics who, this isn't the first time that they did this and like relapsed and like didn't love Jesus again.
Loving Jesus is important.
Yeah, they would be burned at the stake.
Yes. That's the thing that people, I know that.
Yeah. This is very, very rare because they didn't want to burn people at the stake. They wanted them to love Jesus. So right. It actually is pretty rare for someone to be burned at the stake. And then occasionally, a lot of the time, people would just get forgotten, go to jail, die there, and then they'd burn the corpse in effigy.
Sweet deal.
So, then there was the auto de fe, which was in public, and these were where the punishments were carried out. If you were whipped,
The auto de fe,
which is the trial or the test of faith.
Oh, okay.
So. You're basically getting your punishment carried out in public, which is, you know, your fines, your beatings, and your death by fires.
Right.
And it was a huge public spectacle, and it would be held on a holiday.
And there'd be popcorn.
Yeah, basically. It smells like bacon. Long pig. The downfall wasn't until the 1800s for a variety of factors.
Jeez.
Yeah, a long time coming. And it was officially... repealed, abolished in 1834 by a decree signed by Maria Christina of the Two Sicilies, who was Ferdinand VII's widow.
Okay.
Now, you know I said that it was decreed that all Jews were formally banned?
Yes.
That did not get repealed until 1968.
Wow.
1968. That's... Now, out of all those people, estimates say... about 3,000 to 5,000 people actually died.
Okay, that's...
which is a lot less than people think. People originally thought it was like 80,000 people died.
That's more than were tried, as we've established.
Yes. Well, no, that's just a portion of the trials, because there's... it's different. Like, sorry.
Did you lie to me?
No, but borders...
okay.
...weren't quite the same as they once were, and so Castile was actually kind of governed... and then governed. Like, it's provinces and states, and everybody's records are a little bit. But even then, only about, maximum about 5,000 people probably died.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why the people believe the Spanish Inquisition was way worse than actually, well, I'm saying it's a good thing, was not nearly the scary hundreds of years of terror that people think it was. It actually wasn't that bad compared to what people think, of course.
Right.
The reason being... is a lot of what has been studied on it was Protestant scholars. They might be a little biased since the, like, and this is like 1900s, Paul, like early 1900s, late 1800s Protestant scholars probably weren't big fans because a lot of Protestants were, you know, people they were inquiring upon.
Right.
The other thing was, it's called what's called the Black Legend of the Spanish Inquisition, which is It's propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
It was countries that had reason to dislike Spain, like England, big rivalry there. Holland, Protestants, Jews.
Holland hated Spain.
Yeah, they basically were spreading the belief and the rumor that Spain was this barbaric, Inquisition happy nation that was, you know, torturing and killing innocent people all day long. Because they wanted people to have a bad outlook on Spain. So it wasn't actually like, no, I'm not saying it was good. I mean, they banned Jews until 1968. That's kind of a big deal. But it wasn't as bad as, but like history's written, you know, in a biased light. You can never get truly accurate. So that is the Spanish Inquisition.
All right.
Did you learn something?
I did.
What is your favorite part that you learned?
My favorite part?
Mm-hmm. What were you most surprised by?
49,000 trials was pretty surprising.
In what way?
I don't know. I mean, I guess I had never really heard a number put on it. Yeah. So... you know, to actually have a number put on it was kind of like, oh, that's a large number.
What would you like to learn on our next podcast?
I would like to hear you stumble over the pronunciations of many, many Chinese districts as we talk about the Romance of the Three Kingdoms saga, because I'm a big fan of the Dynasty Warriors games, but they take certain liberties with history and... because, I mean, there's backflipping wolves and tigers that fight generals who are ridiculous and fly. So I'd like to know a little bit more truth about the Three Kingdom era of Shu, Wu, and Wei. Shu, Wu, and Wei.
Shu, Wu, Wei.
I'm going to Shu away you to go learn about the Three Kingdoms. And you can
are you
going to
do a Dynasty
about...
Warriors shirt when I do the podcast?
You're always going to throw a shirt in there.
I think it's a good idea. It's good to keep each other motivated. That was Laura's first ever
history podcast.
I hope you learned something today.
I know I did.
I'm glad to hear it, my love. Buy my book.